presented by Mediacom. Four minutes past the hour, 3 o'clock. Welcome, Thursday edition of the Gym Class. We are jam-packed here today once again. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes. John Cranton of Gym Fight Sports will be joining us coming up here in just a few minutes. Also, it is Thursday, and that means the Carl and Ernie's Pick 6, brought to you by Carl and Ernie's Good Time Pub and Grub in Iowa City. And we will bring in the panel and pick some games for you. That'll be coming up here in just a little bit as well. Plus, a review of what happened last night at Bay City Bowl in Cedar Rapids on Trent Street Southwest as we wrap up bowling night in America once again. And that would be, I believe, week number 7, is it not, Mark Dukes?
That is correct.
If my math is right, and I think it is. So we will talk about that coming up here in just a little bit. But we start with some little bit of breaking news. Not really breaking news from Iowa City, but just news and the stamp of approval being put on officially now. The Iowa Board of Regents this afternoon, in fact, within the last hour or so, they have put the stamp of approval on the $89.9 million. It's not a renovation, Mark. It is a revitalization of the north end zone at Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City. That will be a go. Now, starting off, complete demolition of the north end zone taking place after the 2017 season. And you've all seen, if you're interested in the story, the artist renderings, whatnot. They're going to have a video board that's bigger than the south end zone. They will have boxes. They will have luxury boxes. They will have the loge boxes, as they are called. And they will have a lower seating bowl and an upper seating bowl now in the north end zone.
Yeah, the renovation will increase restroom facilities by 146%, including 200% for women's facilities, 90% increase in concession points of sale, 42% increase in concourse width in that north end zone, 25% increase in patron legroom. That's nice.
That is nice.
And wider aisles with handrails. The approval also includes the replacement of field turf at Kinnick Stadium in 2017. Yes, that's part of the deal as well.
Which is probably the timeline. It's usually about a 10 to 12 year life span for the field turf, depending on what brand you buy, et cetera, how much use it gets, whatever the case may be.
Last time the north end zone was upgraded at Kinnick Stadium was 1986. We're also going to improve the width of the seating from 17 inches to slightly more than 18 inches.
An inch?
That's pretty small.
And a half. Is that on each side? No, I'm kidding. It's not. It's overall. It
so
is
you,
what it
you
is.
You can afford to gain another inch on your backside before 2017.
You got a little wiggle room, everybody, in the north end zone. Enjoy.
$90 million. God, what can you build a new stadium for?
Well, obviously some of that is the field turf renovation. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that they're also going to be dealing with the street that is outside the north end zone at Kinnick Stadium. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to make the cost go up just a little bit. Yeah. What is the price tag for a new stadium? Well, that's billion. You're talking billions of dollars at that point. What did U.S. Bank cost up in Minneapolis now?
Yeah.
There's a lot of good things. Now, the seating capacity at Kinnick Stadium will be decreasing. It will be dropping down to approximately 69,000 from where it is now, about 70,000. So there's going to be 1,000 people out there that will not be attending Iowa games that used to in the past. But keep in mind, Iowa's not selling 69,000 season tickets.
So I don't think that's a huge deal.
I don't think it is either. It's the new way. And I know some of the beat writers for the University of Iowa were discussing that on Twitter a little bit earlier on, that you know this is the wave of the future. You're not selling out as much as you used to. I mean, TV ratings are down for most sports. Look at the NFL. They are up for college football, though. this year, which is good to see. But there are so many other things to do now, and so many other ways to get your college football in this instance. So I don't think a decrease is going to be a big deal.
Athletic department officials quick to point out that this will be completely funded by University of Iowa Athletics through private support, bonding, and athletics revenue.
Correct. Correct. So, yeah, $89.9 million will buy you a north end zone now at Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City.
It'll be completely finished by 2019, is that right?
I believe by 2019, yeah. That is correct. Don't ask me what's going to happen in 2018 with the north end zone. That is yet to be determined, and that's above my pay grade. And your pay grade at this point. 319-366-1600 if you'd like to comment on that. That's the Jerry K. Ask Investment Services text line. Again, 319-366-1600. Or if you want to talk about the two topics tonight, besides the Kinnick renovations, you've got Game 5 of the National League Championship Series. And, oh, by the way, maybe overshadowed, maybe not overshadowed, Bears-Packers. Mm. Maybe the top rivalry in NFL action coming your way from Lambeau Field. A game that both teams desperately need to win. Eddie Lacy reported today, you heard it at the top of the hour in SportsCenter, has been placed on a temporary IR, and he's going to be out at least 2 months. Chance to be a free agent next year. Maybe we've seen Eddie Lacy's last carry as a Green Bay Packer. Who knows? He could be back at the end of the year, depending on if everything goes okay off of his surgery that he's going to have. Nile Davis might not be tonight, but Nile Davis may be your Green Bay Packer running back here within the near future.
KGYMRadio.com is the location for our poll question. Emil's Hideaway providing it to you every day. If you could only tune into one game tonight, radio or TV, you can't flip around. Okay.
And we have them both.
Which would it be? Cubs-Dodgers or Packers-Bears? Which one would you tune into? You can't switch around, okay? Yeah, 1600 a.m. we'll have the American League Championship Series
Game
5. National League, I'm sorry. Cubs and Dodgers, and then the football game on the two FMs.
So, there you go. That is your question. What are you choosing? You choosing football? You choosing baseball tonight? And of course, baseball, it's tied at 2 between the Cubs and the Los Angeles Dodgers after the Cub victory last night. Cubs ended up winning that one rather easily by a count of 10-2. Anthony Rizzo and Addison Russell with home runs in that game last night. It was close early, and it was very controversial. You had the instant replay snafu, I guess. Most people are saying on social networking, and you can make up your own mind as far as it is concerned with the play in the second inning with Adrian Gonzalez, Jason Hayward with a terrific throw from the outfield. And I guess it depends what team colors you're wearing if you thought it was an out or a safe call. Look to me, again, we're at a bowling alley, but I've seen it again today. It looked to me like he was safe. But again, with the 10-2 victory last night, it really didn't matter a whole lot.
No, it really didn't matter, but it's more a debate on replay. And who knows, if the Dodgers score that run, gain a little momentum, might have been different. I don't think it would have been. It's a 10-2 game. But Gonzalez adamant that he was safe at the plate, and I kind of went back and forth on it and really looked at it hard, and I think it's more clear that Gonzalez was safe than he was out. And I'm not sure how anybody could say it was completely conclusive that he was out.
Which is probably why they went with the out
call. I mean, they spent quite a while on the replay. If it was that conclusive one way or another, they wouldn't have spent so much time on the replay. That is a very, very difficult call on the field. I mean, if we have to look at it multiple times and the replay officials have to look at it multiple times, multiple angles, that just tells you it's a very, very close play, and not to, you know, blame the umpires by any means. But whether they got it right or wrong is debatable. And those of you out there, 319-366-1600, go ahead and weigh in.
And again, it was a 10-2 game, so in the end, it really, I guess, didn't have a bearing. But if you're down 1-0, that gets a little tighter there when you're facing a 2-1 deficit. Mm-hmm. But the Cubs' bats came through in that game last night. My only, and I understand the umpire because of the fact that the throw beat him. And more often than not, if you're the umpire, the throw beats you at a base or the plate, whatever the case may be, you are going to be called out. And 9 out of 10 times, I think the umpire is right on. That one last night, Gonzalez got in there, I think, a nanosecond before he was tagged.
It certainly looked like he was out before we went to replay, didn't it?
Right.
And then we went to replay, and he got his fingertips in there.
I think he was, without benefit of the replay, he was out. I had him out.
Beyond this, and we're going to bring Joel from Muscatine in to weigh in the poll question here in a second. I pose this, why, especially in the postseason with so much replay going on, why can't Major League Baseball require the home plate umpire and or the crew chief to spend 10-15 minutes after the game answering questions from the media? What'd you see in the field? What'd you see on the replay? What was considered? So on and so forth. And we'll get it from the horse's mouth rather than a lot of speculation.
And Adrian Gonzalez claims two umpires on the field told him, hey, you were safe, but we didn't. They told us from New York you were out. So there wasn't enough evidence to overturn the call. I just, in all these sports, and I don't care if it was last night, whatever the case may be, if you're going to have all this replay that takes so long, please get it right. That's all I ask. Please get it right. Bring in Joel from Muscatine at 3:15. Hi, Joel. How you doing?
Good, fellas. I think this very discussion you're having is why people and why I'm going to be watching baseball tonight. I don't watch baseball all year long, but I always watch the playoffs, and Smoltz said it, I think, best last night. It's because the little things that don't matter in July matter a ton in October when it comes to that stuff. This little call, if this happened on July 8th, we wouldn't be talking about it at all right now.
Nope.
At the magnitude that we're talking about.
Or if it happened to the Cubs last night, Joel.
I'm not a Cubs fan, so I wouldn't really have cared. But their fans are going to whine no matter what. But that's one of those things. If the Cubs, if they won by 10 runs, it wouldn't be a big deal. The Cubs had a call overturned, actually. Baez was safe at first base. He was called out, and replay reversed the call.
Mm-hmm.
So replay worked, I guess, 50% of the time. In last night's game. So.
Yeah.
But that's why I'll be watching baseball tonight, because everything just matters more.
No, good point. Good point. Hey, thanks, Joel. Appreciate it.
Yep.
319-366-1600.
On the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line, folks weighing in on a number of subjects. 2134, runners at the corners and one run in would have made the bats grip just a little tighter for the Cubs. 4702, you knew on first take he was obviously safe. 23-44 is going to be watching the Cubs game. No chance Packers and Bears are going to be on my TV.
Or radio. Radio.
That's right. 65-98, I'm going to watch baseball. I'm a Cardinal fan, and I'm still watching the baseball game. 79-66, give me the NFL game. 47-02 is going to be watching Va-Tech in Miami. And Boise State.
That's another.
BYU.
Mark, we should have put your famous other on there.
I don't like other.
Okay.
In regards to the Kinnick expansion in the north end zone, 0504, and we wonder why tickets are $100 a piece for nosebleed section. 1485, if you're more than 6 feet tall, sitting in the north end zone sucks.
Right now it does. Yeah. she is absolutely right on. That's when I go to the games, that's where I sit. And, yeah, it's tough. It's tough. It needs to have something done to it. Needs to be a little bit bigger. And I think in the long run, I think everyone's going to be happy with all these changes.
1169 in regards to the play at the plate. The picture he tweeted, I'm not sure who that was. Whoever tweeted, looks like the tag is placed with his hand above the base.
Like I said, it depends on your, perspective of things. But it turned out to be a 10-2 game, and there you go.
Immaterial, yeah.
All right, John Cranton's going to join us when we come back. We might revisit this. And we're going to talk more about the poll question coming up as well. But we'll talk to John after this. You're listening to The Gym Class here on KGYM.
40 Drop.
The final season was a story of me coaching the final Norway baseball team. My name is Kent Stock. For 10 years now, I've had a lot of pain in my left knee, and I really hate to be on ibuprofen every day and every day, and I have no desire to have knee surgery. So when I heard about 40 Drop, to me it was like, it's worth a try. I had never heard of cryotherapy. The first time I did the cryo, I had 10 days of pain relief. In the last 10 years, I've never had 10 days of no pain in my knee. I'm not a believer in a lot of things that are different, but I've gotten a lot of relief from the cryo. If that helps me avoid the osteotomy, that will just be like a miracle for me.
40 Drop is the only cryotherapy in Eastern Iowa. Relieve pain with this super fast treatment. Try it. First whole body session is only $30. Everything you want to know is at 40drop.com. 40drop.com.
When Tim and Terry Dickens were kids, if they came home and told their dad future customers of Hertzien and Stocker Jewelers would shop on a computer, Willow probably would have said it was just a lot of gobbledygook. But times do change. Now the Dickens family invites you to shop at HertzienandStockerJewelers.com. Shop with PayPal, and you decide whether you want to pop into Hertzien and Stocker Jewelers to pick up your treasure, or have it sent to you instead. And don't fret, because even in this brave new world, Hertzien and Stocker still offers free gift wrap. It's like the perfect marriage of modern shopping and old-timey service. Open your browser window and go to HertzienandStockerJewelers.com or stop by and see what's sparkling in those famous windows at Hertzien and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. No matter how you shop, Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate are always around.
Hi, this is Lori Grenier. You've seen me on Shark Tank. One obstacle many small businesses face is that getting the capital they need can be a difficult task. That's where Kabbage comes in. Kabbage provides simple, flexible access to a line of credit up to $100,000. They have helped 80,000 businesses with over $2 billion in funding. Go to Kabbage.com or call 888-CABBAGE. You'll get a decision in minutes and can start using your funds immediately. Access your line from a phone or computer and only pay for what you take. Make Kabbage your first resort for business funding.
Monday through Friday from 3 to 4, The Gym Class with UNASH and Dukes, KGYM.
Back with you at 3:21 here on the Thursday edition of The Gym Class, KGYM, as we come away from our studios. Coming up tomorrow, the APC will be live down in Iowa City. They will be on the road trip at the Coach's Corner Sports Pub, 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard in the Walden Square. Stop on by, say hi between 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock. Get your hands on some KGYM prizes as well. And say hi to Todd and Tyler coming up tomorrow. I think Kyle will be there as well. We also have a Dr. Pepper prize pack to give away today, our fourth one of the week. 12-pack of regular Dr. Pepper, 12-pack of Diet Dr. Pepper, some great Dr. Pepper prizes, some KGYM prizes as well. And we will do that before we set sail here today. John Cranton set to join us right now from Jim Feist Sports in Las Vegas, jimfeist.com, and follow Jim on Twitter at Jim Feist Sports here on this Thursday. How you doing, John? Good afternoon.
I'm doing good, gentlemen. I'm wearing my Cubs hat right at this moment. Bring on the Indians, or is that getting a little bit too far ahead?
Hey, whatever suits you
best,
John.
One step closer, I guess.
One step closer after last night. We'll see if John Lester can keep up what he's been doing all year.
I think he will. If anybody had the pressure on him, it would have been the Cubs last night. The talk out here out west is that, boy, the Dodgers had the opportunity, and they blew it. So now, at the very most, it's going to be, you know, two out of three games at Wrigley, so... I'm looking at Cubs Indians, and that's going to be fun because somebody's going to end a curse next week.
Now I'm going to start watching the Bears Packers tonight, John. Maybe one of the few, even those folks in Chicago. What do you have on this game?
Well, we have the Bears is a big underdog here, 9 points. The totals come down a little bit to 46, and you know, the Bears one win on the year, and they should have had one last week. They really outplayed the Jaguars, 13-0 fourth quarter lead, and just that young defense. Couldn't get it done. If there's any positives, they actually did improve the run defense, 2.7 yards per carry and 54 yards. And then in the quarterback slot, I mean, Brian Hoyer, the backup, he continues to play exceptionally well. No picks on the year, 6 touchdowns. But this is a difficult spot here. facing a division game. And the Packers have three wins on the year, but boy, have they had problems, particularly with this putrid offense, which a lot of people are scratching their heads saying, why can't this Green Bay offense open it up and score more points? Last year they struggled. We all thought that was Jordy Nelson not being there, but there really aren't a lot of excuses this year. 25th in yards, 25th in passing. You know, Aaron Rodgers' numbers aren't bad. 10 touchdowns, 4 picks. But when you watch him play, he's throwing behind guys. His timing seems to be off. You just have to start wondering, hey, what's going on? Are the receivers injured? They can't get separation? Or is it age creeping up on Rodgers? Bottom line is they haven't played as well as you would think. And they're really not going to get help in the balanced offense with the ground attack, which they like to go to. Lady Lacy hurting. They made the pickup there for Niles Davis from a Kansas City team that was just loaded with depth. And Niles Davis may even start tonight. This Green Bay team comes off a terrible performance against Dallas, 30-16, a loss. The run defense got run over. Can't see the Bears doing that tonight, but still have some question marks with how good this overall Green Bay team is. So the way I look at tonight's game is probably a high-scoring game because the Bears haven't done well at Lambeau Field, 2-9 against the Las Vegas number. However, the road team is 6-1 ATS. But I'm going to take a look at a high-scoring game because I think both defenses' secondaries can be suspect, and I like the quarterback play from both quarterbacks going here tonight. So I'll go with a 27-24 final score in overtime.
Oh, wow. That'll maybe change a few sets and radio dials.
Notice
here.
John didn't say who the winner was going to be.
No, I can't do that.
Well, let's stick with the NFL. It's a pretty good weekend of games. Let's take a look at Sunday night's game in the desert. The Arizona Cardinals behind native Iowan David Johnson. They will take on Seattle. Big game out in the Western Division of the NFC.
That'll be one of the fun ones. A couple of powerhouse defensive teams. NFC West showdown here. Once again, Seattle's just tops in the NFL in yards. They can just shut down anybody they play. Come off a nice comeback win over the Falcons, 26-24. And the Seattle team that... their offensive line is still a problem. When they won the Super Bowl, they were the highest paid offensive line in the game. Well, now they're dead last. That has been the major weakness. With that said, you're 4-1 with some of those problems. That's pretty good, especially with a defense like this. And then there's Arizona. They've already played 4 home games, 3-3 overall, but 2-2 in these home games. And really haven't played very well overall. Have been a strange team. They did have the win against the 49ers, but hey, everybody seems to beat them. And then quarterback Carson Palmer, great targets to throw to, in addition to David Johnson out of the backfield with 5.5 yards per carry. But Palmer's number is 6 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, his age creeping up on this guy. So the way I'm going to look at this is a powerhouse defensive game, because Arizona can get off to the quarterback. They should be able to do well against the Seattle offensive line. This Arizona team is 8-0 under the total at home, and we have a low Vegas total here of 10-4. Of 40. As well as 10-4 under overall. And Seattle, when they play these NFC West games, division opponents, 13-6 under the total. So I'll look at maybe a 16-13 old-fashioned defensive slugfest.
Now, Minnesota Vikings, the only undefeated team in the NFL, John, have to go to Philadelphia. Tough place to play. Is this where it ends?
No, these Vikings are good, good, real good, with one of the best coaches in the game here in Mike Zimmer. Rested off that bye, and you know, his defense is, we just talked about Seattle. How about Minnesota defense? 4th in yards allowed, number 1 in points, just 12.6 per game. Their offensive numbers aren't dazzling, but they're kind of better than that with Bradford and Stephon Diggs being a nice 1-2 punch. Bradford, 0 picks on the year, so everything's working for this team. This is one of the best teams in the NFC. The defense hasn't allowed more than 16 points in any games. They played exceptionally well, and then you get an Eagles team that they got the kid quarterback there in Carson Wentz, had the great start to the year with the new coaching staff coming in. And then Wentz has good numbers, 7 touchdowns, 1 picks, but all of a sudden a couple of losses here in a row, and you have to wonder, where is the truth with this team? Well, the offensive numbers are actually below average. However, what stands out for me is the defense has been impressive under Jim Schwartz. They're 2nd in the league in yards allowed and points, and they're 3rd against the run, and that's kind of the key when facing a Minnesota team that likes to run, although they've struggled this year without Peterson. So I'm going to have to look at a defensive game here. Last week, Wentz, in the loss to Washington, he was sacked 5 times, and he's a rookie, so you're going to expect that. And here he is facing a powerhouse defense. So I can't see a lot of scoring on Sunday, so I'll go with a 16-13 final. Either way, you know what, I'll lead with Minnesota, but don't look for a lot of points.
Coming up on the bottom of the hour with John Cranton of Jim Feist Sports in Las Vegas, breaking down all the games this weekend. One of our favorites, John, Cajun Troy, texting in. Ask John how many pass interference calls will the Saints get called against them, against the Chiefs. She is a big Saints fan.
And I am a big Chiefs fan. So it was good to hear from Cajun Troy. We're going to have a friendly, I don't know if we'll have anything on the game. I hope not, because every time I do that with the Chiefs, they lose. So what do you say, John?
Well, the over-under on that particular pass interference is 10.5. Wow, my goodness, they're expecting a lot of bad calls from the officials. No, he's right. There's been an atrocious amount, including that Jets game on national TV that everybody's still complaining about. Here's a game where you get the Chiefs playing so well last week defensively, and they showed it against a great Oakland Raiders offense. Just took them apart. 10 points. They held the Raider passing game to 221 yards. And we talked about it last week, leading the league in interceptions this year after leading it last year. So the Chiefs really don't have many weaknesses, and I expect them to have a winning record and be a playoff team again. A lot of good news for the Chiefs, too. We saw Joel Charles come back. I thought that was a little bit early for him, but he was very impressive out of the backfield as a receiver as well as running, and they really have it all. And here they are playing a Saints team that is very simple. One way to sum up the Saints, they have an offense that can't be stopped by most teams, but then they can't stop anybody. Sure, the offensive numbers dazzling under Breeze, and Brandon Cooks is just so fast. The defensive numbers are atrocious. 31st in yards allowed, dead last in points, 33.6 points per game. If they continue that pace, that's going to be historically one of the worst defenses of all time. When you play the Chiefs, though, they like to run. Can the Saints stop the run? No, they can't do that. 118 yards per game allowed, that's 26th in the NFL. So I would have to lean toward the Chiefs here. They're a 6.5-point home favorite. I've actually talked to some people around town who like the Saints in this one. I don't think they like them to win. They like, because they think this is a big betting number for a Chiefs team that likes to go ball control. But I can't go with that. I have to back the better defensive team here. I'll go with KC 27-20, and I don't see a high-scoring game here either.
All right. There you go. Straight from Las Vegas. I'm sorry, Troy. Let's move to college football. Before we get to this weekend, let's talk about tonight. We had one of our texters earlier on saying they're going to be enjoying this game tonight, Virginia Tech and Miami. I think Miami has dropped their last two games. First year for Mark Richt, of course, down in South Beach, and now they take on a Virginia Tech team with a brand-new coach, and the Hokies have been playing good ball as of late.
Yeah, and the bettors have spoken here in Vegas. Virginia Tech went from 4-point favorite up to 6. We got the total of 51, and it's a big ACC game in the Coastal Division with both these teams looking up at North Carolina. Yeah, as you mentioned, Miami started off 4-0, but boy, these last two games and those early games were against weak competition. Then they stepped up the last 2 weeks. They scored 19 to Florida State, just 13 to North Carolina, both losses. So the common thread here is you got a good quarterback in Brad Keough, who's got good numbers, but they haven't scored these last 2 weeks. So the question is, who are these real Canes? What we do know is that Miami's defense has been great, but defensive line is really hurting for tonight's game. Three key defensive linemen are either injured or questionable tonight, and that's going to be very important because Virginia Tech, new coach here in Justin Fuentes from Memphis, where they threw the ball all the time, he's brought that attack to the Hokies, and they've been great. 35th in the country in yards and points. The junior quarterback at Gerard Evans, 17 touchdowns, 2 picks, so they are a terrific all-around team. One of the catches is that Miami has faced two mobile quarterbacks these last 2 weeks, lost both and had trouble. Well, it's going to be 3 in a row tonight because Evans can run as well as pass. So it's kind of a bad matchup for Virginia Tech tonight. In addition, the Hokies, terrific in these Thursday night national TV games, 21-10 against the Las Vegas number. So kind of a high total here with a Miami team that can play D but is struggling. So I'm going to look at that way as Virginia Tech and ACC play 39-18 under the total. And when these teams meet, 10-3 under the total. But for me, it's Virginia Tech and a lower scoring game.
John, folks, anxiously awaiting your analysis on Iowa-Wisconsin coming up at Kinnick Stadium, 11 o'clock Central Time on Saturday. This series has been as even as it gets, as you know, John. But it's probably an elimination game in the Big Ten West. So let's hear your thoughts on this game.
Oh, this will be a fun one. I heard you guys talking about $100 for nosebleeds. Was that for this game?
That's pretty much a regular price at Kinnick.
You know, what are the tickets going to be next month when Michigan shows up on beach?
Much more than that.
Much more than that.
Okay, well, this is a good one here. Iowa is at home, but they're a 3.5-point home underdog. That surprised me. You got a low total here of 42.5. They come off the win over Purdue, which 49-35 is impressive outside of the points allowed, but that's misleading. I mean, they were up 35-7 at the half. It was total domination. They had a pair of running backs who were over 100 yards for the first time since 2008 in Wadley and Daniels. And, you know, they've had some games. The Hawkeyes have given up some points this season, and we've talked about how talented the defense is, but right now they're number 21 in the nation in points allowed, just 19.1 points per game. That's really what we thought, and they certainly have the ability to do that. So this defense is rounding into dominant form. And the one thing that stands out is they've been a good road team as far as covering Vegas numbers, but they're only 1-8-1 against the spread at Kinnick Stadium. With that said, this Wisconsin team comes in two straight step-up games against Michigan and Ohio State. They played in the game, but lost both by 7. And it's a team that is great defensively like last year, but still have a lot of question marks with this offense, which is subpar. They got a freshman quarterback in Hornibrook who has more picks, 6, than touchdowns, just 5. And they showed great offensive prowess last week against Ohio State. However, that was a marquee game at home. Had to be a lot of emotion behind it, wanting to knock off Ohio State. Lost a tough one, and then I wonder, can you carry that in the next week, or is there a letdown in addition to going on the road? So, again, I'm surprised to find them here a road favorite at Iowa. Last year's game, Hawkeye fans probably remember a windy day there, and Iowa took a 10-6 defensive battle, but the defense was outstanding, forcing 4 turnovers by the Badgers. Keep in mind, Wisconsin did not have their star running back, Corey Clement, that game. Looks like he's going to play Saturday. But here's the key to the game historically. It's really about run defense for the Hawkeyes, because when they hold a Wisconsin runner under 100 yards, any runner, they're 5-2 the last 11 games when they play the Badgers. However, if they allow somebody to go over 100 yards, they're 1-3. I think this is a fine defensive matchup where they can focus on stopping the line of scrimmage on first down, stopping Clement, and they got a freshman quarterback here, the Badgers do. So I will look for a defensive duel. I'll go with a really low score, 13-9, similar to last year. But I don't agree with Iowa being a home underdog with the type of talent they have and the kind of success they have. So I'll go with Iowa should win this game, and I'll go 13-9.
Oh, there you go, making friends here in the Hawkeye State. Let's stay in the Big Ten. Ohio State goes out to Beaver Stadium and State College to take on Penn State. The Buckeyes, of course, number 2 in the country. Do they stay that way?
Yes, they will. They're a big favorite here of 19.5. And it's an interesting matchup because it's always a great game, particularly in the trenches. And this Penn State team, 4-2 record. They're coming in rested. They had one step-up game against Michigan. And boy, did they get trounced, 49-10. Very young quarterback here in Trace McSorley. And a Michigan game, they were down 28-0 at the half. And the Michigan running game alone had 326 yards, 6.7 yards per carry. So I have to wonder, how good is this Penn State defense? Their offense is not that particularly good. Ohio State comes in off that big road win, now having to go on the road again. Oh, boy, this team under Urban Meyer has it all. JT Barrett having a great season. They can kill you with the run or the pass. And when they're on the road under Urban Meyer, they win these games and they cover the Vegas numbers, 15-1 straight up, 11-5 against the spread. What's a big number here on the road in a marquee Big Ten game for both teams, but 19.5-point number is good. But I'll take a look at the total, which has come from 61 down to 57. That's because both these teams can play the physical game in the trenches. So I'll go with maybe a 30-13 final score, but much lower scoring at Penn State than some of the odds makers think.
Big game in the SEC, John, and most of them are, but Alabama taking on Texas A&M, really big point spread here, but I think folks know that A&M historically has given up a lot of rushing yards against Bama. So why don't you look at, give us the numbers and your opinion.
You're right, and Bama's now taken on a thing where no matter what number they put up, the public just jumps all over them. That happened last week, and it's happened again. Bama went from 16.5-point favorite up to 19.5 now. Total has come down to 57. They come off a game against Tennessee, which is just a bad matchup for the Vols, where they just ran right through them. However, this A&M team They also played Tennessee, 353 yards rushing they have. That was a two-overtime game. And that's kind of the key here is run defense. The thing about Texas A&M that's so good is the speed that Kevin Sumlin recruits. So I wonder, can they pull the upset of Bama? Well, they did a couple of years ago when Manziel was there, and then the rematch was another close game that came down to the wire. But Alabama just has too much NFL talent on both sides of the ball. We've seen them shut down the USC running game, just 2.1 yards per carry, and they crushed them that game. And I'll have to go, though, with more of an offensive show here because A&M does have speed. They can possibly hang with this Bama team, but I don't know if the Texas A&M defense can. So I'll say that both teams are capable of scoring 30 points, and you got a Vegas total here of 57. So I'll look for a high-scoring, fun shootout on Saturday.
Yeah, that ought to be a lot of fun down there in T-Town. John, tell us a little bit about what you guys have at jimfeist.com, and you've got a free play, I believe, in the National Football League.
Sure, that Bears game tonight, Packers. We'll look for a high-scoring game because the weather's supposed to be pretty good in Lambeau Field. Jim Feist off a 9-2-1 NFL weekend. If you only got 3 days of his high rollers, it starts tonight, 866-546-9467, or you can check it out at jimfeist.com.
All right, John. We will talk to you next Thursday. Have a great weekend.
Sounds good. We'll see you then, guys.
All right. John Krant joining us live from Las Vegas here on KGYM, talking about NFL and college football games. Let's talk bowling.
Let's do that.
And wrap up a Bowling Night in America brought to you by May City Bowl. Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. Thanks to Tom, everybody, the entire gang. The place was hopping last night. The gallery was hopping. The after bowling party, I guess, lack of a better term.
That was the Cubs game, Scott.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
There were a lot of people that hung around, but there were a lot of Dodger fans there last night.
Yes, there were.
There were a couple tables of Dodger fans there, and they kept their separate distance between the two.
It was civil.
It was very civil. It was also getting one-sided at that point.
As far as on the alleys, I don't think even John Cranton, Jim Feist, or anybody in Vegas could have predicted what happened last night.
What was that?
Rusty Nails taking on two-time defending champion Durline Scale and sweeping.
What?
Rusty Nails sweep Durline Scale. Fit that in the headline. To be fair, Durline didn't have Chad Durline there, who's a fine bowler,
yep.
And they bowled short. We didn't get their best shot, I don't think, except for maybe from Kevin Klein and
Jeff had a nice
and
night.
Jeff Durline had a good night, but we had a good night, and led by one Rusty Swires,
the patriarch, the godfather.
Rusty had high game on in the Evergreen League last night, 267, and second high series at 707. Justin Hansen nudged Rusty and Ian Schrage out with a 716. But I was curious. And you go to leaguesecretary.com, it's got records for the last 5 years. When was Rusty's last 700?
He could probably tell you.
No.
He'd say a long time ago.
Knowing that, he only bowls up till Christmas, goes to Florida with his wife, Dee, had a surgery last year, I think. So it's not like a full season, but... Rusty, September 8th, 2013, you had a 712. That was your last 700.
Until last night.
Much needed last night. Good job there by Rusty and all the gang. But it was a fun night, and it finds the Rusty Nails tied for first place.
First time in a while.
In the Evergreen League, 17 up, 11 down.
First time in a while. Position week next week. We take on co-number one, Hupp Electric Motors, next week.
Indeed. We'll see if we can either extend the lead, keep it, or lose it.
Yeah, we only got three things. It's like a forward pass with Bo Schembechler.
Exactly.
Two things are bad.
Fun night, though. Fun night.
It was a fun night. Thanks to Tom, everybody at May City Bowl. They are the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America. We will come back, and we will get the panel together. But as we go to break, going to give you an opportunity to win a Dr. Pepper prize pack right now. Going to take caller number 5 at 319-366-1600. 319-366-1600. You know how it works. 12-pack of regular Dr. Pepper, 12-pack of Diet Dr. Pepper, some KGYM prizes, some Dr. Pepper prizes as well. Good luck to everybody out there. We'll come back, get the panel together. May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the Mature League, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
Progressive presents Mind Flowness with Flo.
You are in the driver's seat, in complete control, in life and on the road. Your driving record is impeccable, and for this, you are greatly rewarded with Snapshot from Progressive. You use your savings to buy a World's Best Driver t-shirt. It runs a little small.
The more righteous you drive, the more you can save with Snapshot from Progressive. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Snapshot not available in all states or from all agents.
Chemical-resistant gloves, coveralls, earplugs, Grainger. Dust masks, portable eyewash stations, hard hats, Grainger. Anti-fog safety glasses, fall protection harnesses, face shields, Grainger. Respirators, welding jackets, pipe repair systems, Grainger, Grainger, Grainger. Protection blankets, steel toe boots, caution signs, Grainger. They've got over 100,000 safety products. When you think safety, think Grainger. When it comes to safety, Grainger's got your back. Call, clicksafety.grainger.com, or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ice cold Dr. Pepper and college football go way back. They belong together like crazy upsets and stadium flyovers, t-shirt guns and slow-mo cams, Wildcats and flea flickers. Having a college football gathering without Dr. Pepper is like having a whiteout game without shirts. Basically, we wouldn't recommend it. So next time you have a tailgate, home gate, or whatever else kind of gate, grab some ice cold Dr. Pepper to make your college football party one of a kind. Dr. Pepper, it's a college football tradition. Available at Walmart.
Don't miss the action of your Cedar Rapids Rough Riders.
Tomorrow night, the Chicago Steel invade the stable for Pink in the Rink, presented by Unity Point Health. The first 2,000 fans get a free pink cowbell, plus beverages, popcorn, and hot dogs are just $2. Wear pink to support breast cancer awareness and come cheer your riders on to victory. Happy hour begins at 5:30. Puck drops at 7:05.
Party!
Details on the hottest game at the coolest place. Visit RiderTownUSA.com. Get your tickets today.
Be there.
Play real pool. Yeah, the kind manly men play. At TCB Pool Hall. TCB isn't one of those joints with a quarter pool table stuck in the back room for atmosphere. No. TCB is a pool hall. 10 full-size tables you rent by the hour. But you gotta be 21 to get in because any regulation game of pool requires something cold in your hand. Pool, cold beer, TCB Pool Hall. On the Ped Mall, next to Mondo Saloon, downtown Iowa City.
You'll probably find them either on the golf course or at the bowling alley. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, the Gym Class on KGYM.
3:47, back with you, and congratulations going out to John from Marion. He is the Dr. Pepper Prize Pack winner. We'll have another Dr. Pepper Prize Pack coming up tomorrow to give to one of our lucky listeners, and also stay tuned for the APC coming up between 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock. They will have a Little Caesars pizza giveaway. That'll be coming up between 4 o'clock and 7 o'clock. We've got football. We've got baseball coming your way tonight. Football on 107.5 and 106.3 FM with the Packers and the Bears going at it from Lambeau. And on 1600 AM, it will be Game 5 between the Dodgers and the Cubs coming your way from Los Angeles. Both those getting underway at 7 o'clock. By the way, before we get to Todd and the pick 6, I think the panel is being assembled as we speak. News coming from several sources in Madison and around the Wisconsin football program that Vince Beagle is going to play for the Badgers on Saturday.
Excellent linebacker, and Wisconsin's got a set of them, that's for sure. And Beagle's one of those, you say bulldogs, right, Todd?
Well, whatever we do, we'll make sure that we are less than ambiguous in discussing Vince Beagle on our Before the Boom pregame show Saturday morning at 9 a.m. I don't know where everybody else is, but we can get going here. Congratulations, Scott Unash, for another win on the Carl and Ernie's Pick 6. And talk about position week with Bowling Night in America. You guys have a 5-game lead on the APC. And what we thought was just going to be a 1-week dip is now becoming problematic.
So it's still early.
Bit of a trend.
To see, trending in the wrong direction, at least for us. So we're going to see if we can turn things around this week. There were some interesting Big Ten games that do not have a line on them at the moment in Las Vegas. One of them is Illinois at Michigan.
You wanted that one so bad.
What would you set that at, Todd?
31.5, maybe. What's the biggest spread you've seen in a college football game? I mean,
I've seen him in the 40s.
Couple years ago, about 40.
42.5. If I threw you the hook, would you take the Illini in 42.5 this weekend?
No, Michigan's 36.5 against Illinois.
Well,
if that's a point of comparison.
They were not on the website that I used to get the line, so we will have instead a game that people actually care about.
No one cares about Michigan and Illinois?
Well, maybe Jim Harbaugh. Texas A&M at Alabama, where the Crimson Tide are an 18.5-point favorite. Scott?
Last time Alabama lost a bowl game, who was quarterback? Anyone? For the team that beat Alabama.
Oklahoma, Trevor Knight.
Trevor Knight.
Who's the starting quarterback for Texas A&M?
Trevor Knight. With that being said, Alabama will still win this game, but I don't get 18.5. A&M's offense is too good. I'll take A&M and the points in this one.
As I just discussed with John Cranton, you look at this game historically, and A&M has given up a lot of rushing yards against Alabama teams that are not as good as this year.
Name them.
So
yeah.
I'll throw the points and give me Alabama.
Ooh.
I'll go with Texas A&M to cover, and I would like to say that whatever happens this week, I will accept the results of this pick six.
But only if you win.
Wait a minute.
Well, I thought Alabama was awfully impressive in going on the road and doing what it did to Tennessee last weekend, and now they get to come home and face Texas A&M. Roll Tide. Roll Tide, roll.
Roll Tide, roll. All right, Tyler.
Sorry, boys. I was too busy trying to get Pat Hughes' call last night at that last out in L.A.
The hardest working man in show business.
Thank you.
It's either Niles Davis or Tyler Ryder. I'm not quite sure.
I've had the privilege, I wouldn't really call it a privilege since they were both losses, to see both A&M and Alabama back-to-back weeks. I'm going to tell you something, boys. They let Tennessee in that game, and they had 7 turnovers on the Vols. Alabama is the real deal. Spoiler alert. No. Throw the points, Bama.
All right. We have Sean on the line. Of course, it is the Carl and Ernie's Pick 6, brought to you by Carl and Ernie's Good Time Pub and Grub in Iowa City on Highway 1 West. Sean, good afternoon.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing great. How are you doing?
Not too bad. I think I'm going to take Texas A&M on this one. I don't absolutely love it, but I'll take it.
That's a 3-3 split. That means that's a heck of a game. That's a good pick.
Let's see if we can replicate this with TCU at West Virginia. Many people are saying West Virginia is the best team in the Big 12. They'll have another opportunity to prove it this weekend. They're a 6.5-point favorite over the Horned Frogs.
West Virginia wins 36-30, so give me TCU.
He's giving us scores.
TCU beat.
Let's not make this more complicated than it needs to be.
TCU beat Kansas by 1. TCU's not very good. West Virginia rules.
You didn't have to bring that up, Alex.
Now you've got me thinking that it seems like, oh, a TCU only beat Kansas, so they should get killed by West Virginia, so they're going to be in this game. And I think they are. I'll take TCU.
TCU. Tyler.
Yeah, I'm not West Virginia.
West Virginia.
Going to get, in the words of Freddy Krueger, this is about to get messy.
Is there enough couches in West Virginia these days?
Ah, you turned my thunder. Sean, what do you like, West Virginia or TCU?
TCU had a battle against Kansas and Iowa State, and everybody knows they're not worth a damn, so I guess I'm going to take
TCU.
Take West Virginia.
Oh. True story. My wife and I went to West Virginia just to say that we were in West Virginia. Neither one of us had ever been there. We were in Maryland. We drove over the Potomac, drove around the block in the city that was on the other side of the bridge, and then returned back north of the Mason-Dixon line.
I've been in Wheeling,
West Virginia. Yep.
I've been through there. It's like an 8-mile stretch in West Virginia, but I've been there, by golly. And with that being said, I'm taking them.
One of my favorite Billy Joel songs involves Wheeling, West Virginia.
One of my favorite John Denver songs.
What in the wide, wide world of sports? Good Lord. Squirrel. Let's get back to the Big Ten. We've got four Big Ten games. I believe it is Charleston, West Virginia. Purdue is at Nebraska this week, the first game without Daryl Hazel, and Nebraska's favored by 24 points. If somebody takes Purdue in this, lock them up and throw away the key. But Alex Kuhn, you get the first opportunity.
I am so glad to be leading off on this game, but I don't want to get locked up, so I guess I'll go Nebraska.
I'll put a big N there for
I'm
that.
I'm going to take Nebraska here, too.
Tyler.
I'm just going to say Nebraska because I want to hear what Sean has to say.
Sean, who hates Nebraska but knows Purdue stinks. So this is going to be a tough call.
I'm going to go with Purdue.
Sean.
I do. I really do.
Okay.
I honestly think Purdue is going to cover.
Sean, last week I tried to talk you off that whole Iowa and the whole covering business against Purdue, and you wouldn't listen to me as
you
a teammate.
Have to do that again,
Sean, we're down five games. Sean, just please take Nebraska.
I'm with you.
All right, Scott, Mark, deliver the coup de grace here.
That was a good pick. Purdue's going to get the new coach 1 week push. They're not going to win this game, by God, but they're going to stay within 24. I'm with you. I'm with you, Sean.
Oh, my.
You saw what happened last week.
Seriously.
When does Nebraska put its second team in? Maybe a little bit later than Kirk Ferentz did. Give me Nebraska.
All right, another heavy point spread here. Penn State is hosting Ohio State in Happy Valley, and they are a 19.5-point underdog at home. And I get to lead off here.
It's your boy James Franklin.
It is my boy James Franklin. Man, if you've got to hitch your wagon to a coach, hitch it to someone who's a little bit more reliable than James Franklin. What was the phrase at the beginning of the no talent needed on the recruiting materials? I'll go with Ohio State here. Massive, massive point spread, but I think they're 3 touchdowns better than Penn State.
They got to get caught up for what they left behind in Madison last week, trying to set that FBS total yardage record. Give me the Buckeyes big.
John, Penn State or Ohio State?
I thought Ohio State was really good until I watched them last week. So let me tell you, is that at Penn State?
Yes.
Okay, I'll take Penn State.
Sean likes Penn State. I like Penn State. They're not going to win, but they're going to keep it within 19.5. Love the hook, Mark Dukes.
I do too. Give me Penn State.
Make that 3 of us on the gym class. I'll
Ooh,
take Penn
is that
State.
Separation Saturday? Almost. Almost.
Well, this will be the true separation Saturday because anybody who attends this game will likely be wanting to separate themselves from their seats midway through the third quarter. Indiana is at Northwestern, and the Wildcats are a 1.5-point favorite, Tyler.
I believe in the Cats now. I said if they got Michigan State last week, which they did, they hung 54 in East Lansing, I'd start buying into Purple Kitty football, and I'll keep my word. Give me Northwestern.
All right, Sean, who do you like in this one?
Give me Northwestern. What the hell?
Liking Northwestern. I'm going to make it 3 for 3 here. Indiana's a different team away from Bloomington. I will take Northwestern.
Indiana, please.
I'll take Indiana as well.
This isn't basketball, you know.
I am also taking Indiana here, and that leads us to the main course. Wisconsin, a 3.5-point favorite over the Hawkeyes at Kinnick Stadium on Saturday. Our tiebreaker for the purposes of awarding the $30 gift certificate to Carl and Ernie's Good Time Pub and Grub will be total passing yards for Wisconsin quarterback Alex Hornibrook. And Sean, you get to start.
Total passing yards for Wisconsin's quarterback? Is
yes.
that what you said?
Yep.
I'm going to give him 212. And I was really liking the Hawks this week, but then as the week got going, I just kind of fell off the bandwagon. So I'm going to take Wisconsin. I don't like it, but I'm going to take Wisconsin. And, yeah, that's that.
I think it's going to be close. As John Krantz talked about a little bit earlier on, this series has been nothing but close. Wisconsin's played four top 20 teams. Iowa has not played one yet. I think that's going to play out big. I think Wisconsin wins by about anywhere between 3.5 and a touchdown, so I'll take the Badgers.
Hornibrook's best game was last week.
147,
against,
by the
I'm
way.
I'm sorry.
Don't steal my thunder.
No. Hornibrook's best game was last week against Ohio State, 214. That was mainly because Ohio State stopped Corey Clement. But I think Wisconsin's got too much for Iowa in this game. I think it's a touchdown victory for Wisconsin, 175.
Alex Kuhn.
I, for some reason, like this line going towards Wisconsin. I think they're going to win by 10+, and I think Hornibrook will throw for 190 yards.
Man, you guys are going to put me on an island.
I am. I have Wisconsin winning the game. Spoiler alert for those of you that will read the Gazette on Saturday. I have Wisconsin winning 24-20, which is 4 points, which is slightly greater than 3.5. So for the purposes of integrity, I will take Wisconsin. And we'll go with 166 passing yards for old Alex.
We are nothing but filled with integrity here.
Last time you put me on an island with the Hawkeyes, Iowa beat Minnesota. No way in hell. Wisconsin's too good. Give me whiskey. And what's the best passing number right now, Todd?
212. The highest or the lowest?
Highest.
Highest is 212.
Give me 213.
Oh, that hurts. That hurts. Sean, well, what time will Carl and Ernie's and Coach's Corner be open starting Saturday?
Both places Saturday morning at 8:30. So get here early, and hopefully we're all wrong, and Iowa can show up and win a game.
I would agree.
We'll
with that.
See you down there, Sean.
All right, we'll see you guys after the game.
All right, thanks, Sean. Appreciate it, buddy.
Well, that's just half the fun, like they used to say with G.I. Joe. Knowing is half the battle. We now need six callers to 319-366-1600, and whoever picks the person from the panel who did the best job, I was going to say the least worst job, but we're struggling to get above water this year.
Lesser of two evils. You've heard that this year. Yes.
Yes. So,
where have you heard that before?
I don't know. Timely humor, topical humor. 319-366-1600. You pick one of us. And then if we win, you win the $30 gift certificate to Carl and Ernie's Good Time Pub and Grub in Iowa City.
All right. APC's coming up. You got a Little Caesars prize pack to give away. What else you got coming up?
We got Little Caesars pizzas to give out. We're going to talk a little Cyclone football with Brent Bloom. Chris Emma from 670, The Score in Chicago, is going to join us live from Lambeau Field in Green Bay. And it's Thursday. We do a little something on our program called Would Ya?
I love it. All right. Just past the top of the hour, 4 o'clock, and we're going to get you ready for the APC coming up next. Who wins tonight?
What, baseball, football?
Yes, baseball.
I think the Cubs do.
Cubs win tonight because the Dodgers are throwing the wrong guy.
Well, that's your opinion.
They
are. Sports fans win tonight.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Chicago sports fans win tonight. And you on KGYM win tonight as well because we got them both. Right here on 1600, 107.5 and 106.3 FM. Stay tuned, APC next, KGYM.
What good is history if you never change? And what good is change if it doesn't make you better? At Valvoline, we believe in...